Let's take a look at the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, the great missionary work of St. Paul, such an amazing book of the New Testament, so action-packed. And we find out that Paul had just left Corinth here in chapter 19 and travels through the interior of the country down to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. Of course, Ephesus would become known as the place where St. John the Evangelist would live and spend time with our Blessed Mother. Our Blessed Mother probably lived there for perhaps 20 years in Ephesus. But when Paul gets there, he finds a group of quasi-Christians, and he says to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And their answer is very telling. Their answer is very interesting, because they said, "We've never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." A very interesting response. So we find out that these so-called Christians in Ephesus were not yet truly Christian. They had known something about Christ, but they were really following the teachings of John the Baptist. So they had not yet received the fullness of the Catholic teaching yet. Because if they had, they would have heard of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus says, "Go into the whole world and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." If they were baptized by Christian baptism, they would certainly have known who the Holy Spirit was. So then Paul says, "Well, how were you baptized?" They replied, "With the baptism of John." So there were still groups in the early days that were still following John the Baptist, and they would go into the waters and confess their sins, repent of their sins, and then they would have water poured over them, or they would be immersed. And this was a symbol of washing away of sin, but it was not yet a Christian baptism. So these people in Ephesus were just sort of potential Christians or quasi-Christians. So then Paul said, and this is the best description of what John's baptism was, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." John's baptism was a preparation, a foreshadowing, a preparation for the true baptism that would come in Jesus Christ. John was the best man. Jesus was the bridegroom. John was preparing people in their hearts to repent of their sins, to open their hearts, and then they would receive the grace that would come through Christian baptism in the Trinitarian form. So then it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So their baptism of John was not true baptism. Now they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, which meant the Trinitarian formula, because that's how Jesus taught his disciples to baptize. Go into the whole world and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So that's how they were baptized now, by Jesus' commandment to be baptized in his name. And then it says, and then Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether there were about 12 men. So now we have a distinction between Christian baptism and what will become known as the sacrament of confirmation. The sacrament of confirmation is where the bishop lays hands, prays over those who have been baptized, prays for a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Notice it is distinct from baptism, but it follows baptism. Just like when we're confirmed, usually about age 13, we had to be baptized first. And listen to the beautiful words of St. John Paul II about the sacrament of confirmation. And this is something that each of us needs to remember, because of our confirmation. It was such a gift when we were confirmed and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. St. John Paul writes, "Christ's gift of the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out upon you in a particular way." He's speaking to young men and women who are about to be confirmed. You will hear the words of the church spoken over you, calling upon the Holy Spirit to confirm your faith, to seal you in love, and to strengthen you for service. You will then take your place among fellow Christians throughout the world, full citizens now of the people of God. You will witness to the truth of the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. You will live your lives in such a way as to make holy all human life. Together with all the confirmed, you will become living stones in the cathedral of peace. Indeed, you are called by God to be instruments of His peace. And the last few sentences are also so powerful and so beautiful. You too are strengthened inwardly today by the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that each of you, in your own way, can carry the good news to your companions and friends. The same Holy Spirit comes to you today in the sacrament of confirmation to involve you more completely in the Church's fight against sin and in her mission of fostering holiness. He comes to dwell more fully in your hearts and to strengthen you for the struggle with evil. The world of today needs you, for it needs men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit. It needs your courage and hopefulness, your faith and your perseverance. The world of tomorrow will be built by you. Today you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you may work with deep faith and with abiding charity, so that you may help to bring to the world the fruits of reconciliation and peace. Strengthened by the Holy Spirit and His manifold gifts, strive to be unselfish and try not to be obsessed with material things. The words of the great St. John Paul II, spoken to those young people, apply to all of us who have received baptism and the Holy Sacrament of Confirmation.